Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn, continued. Cassette number 5, side 2. You will have one more chance. One last chance. I trust I make myself clear.
Yes, Admiral, real clear, Ferrier said, his head jerking up and down in something closer to a twitch than a nod.
Good.
Thrawn gestured, and Rook's knife vanished.
You can start by telling me exactly what they have planned.
Sure.
Ferrier took a shuddering breath.
Karda, Parta, and Klingun are going to meet in, I guess, 3 days now, at Cheswa. Oh, they know you're running your new clones through Aurus Sector.
Do they? Thrawn said evenly. And they intend to stop it?
No, just find out where it's coming from. Then they're going to tell the New Republic. Brask isn't going along, but he said he wouldn't stop them either. Dravis is going to check with Billy and get back to them. Admazic and Elor have something else planned. They didn't say what.
He ran out of words, or air, and stopped.
All right, Thrawn said after a moment. This is what you're going to do. You and your people will meet Karda and the others at Chaswa on schedule. You'll take Karda a gift, an assault shuttle you stole from the Hishim patrol station.
Rigged, right? Ferrier nodded eagerly. Yeah, that was my idea, too. Give them some rigged ships that...
Karda will, of course, examine this gift thoroughly, Thrawn interrupted him, his patience clearly becoming strained. The ship will therefore be in perfect condition. Its purpose is merely to establish your credibility, assuming you still have any.
Ferrier's lip twisted.
Yes, sir, and then... You will continue to report on Karda's activities, Thrawn told him. And from time to time, I'll be sending you further instructions. Instructions which you will carry out instantly and without question. Is that clear?
Sure, Ferrier said. Don't worry, Admiral. You can count on me.
I certainly hope so.
Deliberately, Thrawn looked at Rook.
Because I would hate to have to send Rook to pay you a visit. I trust I make myself understood.
Ferrier looked at Rook, too, and swallowed hard.
Yeah, I get it.
Good.
He swiveled his chair to face away from Ferrier again.
Commander, escort our guest back to his ship and see that his people are checked out on the assault shuttle I've had prepared for them.
Yes, sir, the stormtrooper commander said.
He gave Ferrier a nudge, and the group turned and headed aft.
Go with them, Rook, Thrawn said. Ferrier has a small mind, and I want it to leave here filled with the knowledge of what will happen if he trips over my plans again.
Yes, my lord,
the Nogri said, and slipped silently away after the departing ship thief. Thrawn turned to Pelion.
Your analysis, Captain?
Not a good situation, sir, Pelion said, but not as bad as it might have been. We have a potential line on Karda's group, if you can believe Ferrier. And in the meantime, he and his new allies won't be doing anything but following the decoy trail we've already prepared for the rebellion.
And eventually they'll tire of that and again go their separate ways, Thrawn agreed.
His glowing eyes narrowed in thought.
Particularly as the financial burden of lost Imperial business begins to take its toll. Still, that will take time.
What are the options? Pelion asked. Take Ferrier up on his offer to give them booby-trapped ships?
Thrawn smiled.
I have something more useful and satisfying in mind, Captain. Eventually, I'm sure some of the other smugglers will realize how unconvincing the Trogon attack really was. With a little judiciously planted evidence, perhaps we can persuade them that it was Carda who was behind it.
Pelion blinked.
Carda? He repeated.
Why not? Thrawn asked. A deceitful and heavy-handed attempt, shall we say, to persuade the others that his fears about the Empire were justified. It would certainly lose Carda any influence he might have over them, as well as possibly saving us the trouble of hunting him down ourselves.
It's something to think about, sir, Pelion agreed diplomatically. The middle of a major offensive, in his opinion, was not the right time to be worrying about exacting vengeance on the dregs of the galaxy's underfringes. There would be plenty of time for that after the rebellion had been pounded into dust. May I suggest, Admiral, that the stalled campaign off Gataris requires your attention?
Thrawn smiled again. Your devotion to duty is commendable, Captain.
He turned his head to gaze out the side viewport.
No word yet from Coruscant?
Not yet, sir, Pelion said, checking the comlog update just to be sure. But you remember what Himron said about first creating a data trail. He might have run into some delays.
Perhaps.
Thrawn turned back, and Pelion could see the slight tightness in his face.
Perhaps not. Still, even if we fail to obtain the twins for our beloved Jedi Master, Major Himron's fingering of Mara Jade should succeed in neutralizing her as a threat to us. For the moment, that's what's important.
He straightened in his chair.
Set course for the Kataris battle plane, Captain. We'll leave as soon as Ferrier is clear.
Chapter 11. The bulky man was turning into the grand corridor when Han finally caught up with him, his expression that of a man in a hurry and in a rotten mood besides. But that was okay. Han wasn't in all that great a mood either. Colonel Bremen, he said, falling in step beside the man, just as he passed the first of the slender purple and green kahala trees that lined both sides of the grand corridor. I want to talk to you a minute. Bremen threw him an irritated glance. If it's about Mara Jade, Solo, I don't want to hear it. She's still under house arrest, Han said anyway. I want to know why.
Gee, well, maybe it has something to do with that Imperial attack 2 nights ago, Bremen said sarcastically.
You suppose?
Could be, Han agreed, batting at one of the kahala branches that was stretching a little too far from the trunk.
The subtle turmoil of color taking place beneath the tree's transparent outer bark exploded into an angry red at the spot where the branch connected to it, the color shooting around the trunk in ripples as it slowly faded.
I guess it all depends on how much we're listening to Imperial rumor these days.
Bremen stopped short and spun to face him.
Look, Solo, what do you want from me? He snapped.
A new flush of pale red rippled across the kahala tree Han had touched, and across the corridor, a group of diplomats sitting around a conversation ring looked up questioningly.
Look at the facts a minute, huh? Jade knew about the secret back door and the passages. She admits that outright. She was there on the scene before any alert was sounded. She admits that, too.
Well, so were Lando and General Bel Eblis, Han said, feeling that thin plating of diplomacy that Leia had worked so hard to build starting to fail.
You haven't got them locked up.
The situations are hardly similar, are they? Bremen shot back. Calrissian and Bel Eblis have histories with the New Republic, and people here who vouch for them. Jade has neither.
Leia and I vouch for her, Han told him, trying hard to ignore that whole thing about her wanting to kill Luke. Isn't that good enough? Or are you just mad at her for doing your job for you?
It was the wrong thing to say. Bremen turned nearly as red as the Kahala tree head, his face hardening to something you could use for hull metal.
So she helped shoot some alleged Imperial agents, he said frostily. That proves absolutely nothing. With a Grand Admiral pulling the strings out there, the entire raid could have been nothing more than an elaborate scheme to convince us she's on our side.
Well, I'm sorry, but we're not buying today. She gets the full treatment. Record search, background search, acquaintance correlation, and a couple of question-answer sessions with our interrogators.
Terrific, Han snorted. If she's not on our side now, that'll put her there for sure.
Bremen drew himself up to his full height. We're not doing this to be popular, Solo. We're doing this to protect New Republic lives, yours and your children's among them, if you recall. I presume Counselor Organa Solo will be at Mon Mothma's briefing. If she has any complaints or suggestions, she can present them there. Until then, I don't want to hear anything about Jade from anyone, especially you. Is that clear, Captain Solo?
Han sighed. Yeah, sure.
Good. Spinning around again, Bremen continued on his way down the corridor. Han watched him go, glowering at his back.
You do have a way with people, don't you? A familiar voice said wryly from beside him.
Han turned in mild surprise. Luke, when did you get back?
About 10 minutes ago, Luke told him, nodding down the corridor. I called your room, and Winter told me you two had headed down here for a special meeting. I was hoping to catch you before you went in.
I'm not invited, actually, Han said, throwing one last glare at Bremen's retreating back. And Leia stopped by Mara's room first.
Ah, Mara.
Han looked back at his friend. She was here when we needed her, he reminded the younger man.
Luke grimaced. And I wasn't.
That wasn't what I meant, Han protested.
I know, Luke assured him, but I still should have been here.
Well, Han shrugged, not really sure what to say.
You can't always be here to protect her. That's what she's got me for.
Luke threw him a wry smile.
Right. I must have forgotten.
Han looked over his shoulder. Other diplomats and council aides were starting to show up, but no Leia yet.
Come on. She must have gotten hung up somewhere. We can meet her halfway.
I'm surprised you're letting her walk around the palace alone, Luke commented, as they headed back along the row of Kahala trees.
She's not exactly alone, Han said dryly. Chewie hasn't let her out of his sight since the attack. The big fuzzball even sleeps outside our door at night.
Must give you a safe feeling.
Yeah. The kids will probably grow up allergic to Wookiee hair.
He glanced over at Luke.
Where were you, anyway? Your last message said you'd be back 3 days ago.
That was before I got stuck on... Luke broke off, eyeing the people beginning to wander through the corridor.
I'll tell you later, he amended.
Winter said that Mara was under house arrest.
Yeah, and it looks like she's going to stay there, Han growled. At least till we can convince the bit pushers down in security that she's clear.
Yes, Luke said hesitantly.
Well, that might not be as easy as it sounds.
Han frowned.
Why not?
Luke seemed to brace himself.
Because she spent most of the war years as a personal assistant to the Emperor.
Han stared at him.
I hope you're kidding.
I'm not, Luke said, shaking his head. He had her going all over the Empire doing jobs for him. They called her the Emperor's Hand. which was what that Imperial major down in the medical wing had called her.
"That's great," he told Luke, turning to face forward again. "Just great. You could have told us."
"I didn't think it was important," Luke said. "She's not with the Empire now, that's for sure."
He threw Han a significant glance.
"And I suppose most of us have things in our background we wouldn't want people talking about."
"Somehow, I don't think Bremen and his security hotshots are going to see it that way," Han said grimly.
"Well, we'll just have to convince them."
He broke off.
"What is it?" Han asked.
"I don't know," Luke said slowly. "I just felt a disturbance in the Force."
Something cold settled into the pit of Han's stomach.
"What kind of disturbance?" he asked. "You mean like danger?"
"No," Luke said, his forehead wrinkled with concentration.
"More like surprise or shock."
He looked at Han.
"And I'm not sure, but I think it was coming from Leia."
Han's hand dropped to the grip of his blaster, his eyes flicking around the corridor. Leia was up there with a former Imperial agent, and she was surprised enough for Luke to pick up on it.
"You think we should run?" he said quietly.
"No," Luke said.
His hand, Han noted, was fingering his lightsaber.
"But we can walk fast."
From outside the door came the muffled voice of the G2RD guard droid, and with a tired sigh, Mara shut down her data pad and tossed it on the desk in front of her. Eventually, she assumed, security would get tired of these polite little sweetness-coated interrogation sessions. But if they were, it wasn't showing yet. Reaching out with the Force, she tried to identify her visitor, hoping at least that it wasn't that Bremen character again. It wasn't, and she had just enough time to get over her surprise before the door opened and Leia Organa Solo walked in.
"Hello, Mara," Organa Solo nodded in greeting.
Behind her, the guard droid closed the door, giving Mara a brief glimpse of an obviously unhappy Wookiee.
"I just stopped in to see how you were doing."
"I'm just terrific," Mara growled, still not sure whether getting Organa Solo instead of Bremen was a step up or a step down.
"What was all that about outside?"
Leia shook her head, and Mara caught a flicker of the other woman's annoyance.
"Somebody in security apparently decided you shouldn't have more than one guest at a time unless it was one of them. Chewie had to stay outside, and he wasn't very happy about it."
"I take it he doesn't trust me."
"Don't take it personally," Leia assured her. "Wookiees take these life debts of theirs very seriously, you know. He's still pretty upset that he nearly lost all of us to that kidnap squad. Actually, at this point, he probably trusts you more than he trusts anyone else in the palace."
"I'm glad someone does," Mara said, hearing the bitterness in her voice. "Maybe I should ask him to have a little talk with Colonel Bremen."
Organa Solo sighed.
"I'm sorry about this, Mara. We've got a meeting downstairs in a few minutes, and I'm going to try again to get you released. But I don't think Mon Mothma and Ackbar will okay it until security finishes their check."
And when they found out that she really had been the Emperor's hand.
"I should have kept pushing Winter to get me a ship out of here."
"If you had, the twins and I would be in Imperial hands now," Organa Solo said quietly. "On our way to be the prizes of his Jedi Master, Cabauth."
Mara felt her jaw tighten. Offhand, she couldn't think of many fates more horrible than that one.
"You've already thanked me," she muttered. "Let's just say you owe me one, and leave it at that, okay?"
Organa Solo smiled slightly. I think we owe you a lot more than just one, she said.
Mara looked her straight in the eye.
Remember that when I kill your brother.
Organa Solo didn't flinch. You still think you want to kill him?
I don't want to discuss it,
Mara told her, getting up from her chair and stalking over to the window.
I'm doing fine. You're going to try to get me out, and we're all glad I saved you from Kabalth. Was there anything else?
She could feel Organa Solo's eyes studying her.
Not really, the other said. I just wanted to ask why you did it.
Mara stared out the window, feeling an uncomfortable swelling of emotion washing up against the heavy armor plate she'd worked so hard to build up around herself.
I don't know, she said, vaguely surprised that she was even admitting it. I've had 2 days of solitary to think it over, and I still don't know. Maybe,
she shrugged.
I guess it was just something about Thrawn trying to steal your children.
For a minute, Organa Solo was silent.
Where did you come from, Mara?
She asked at last.
Before the Emperor brought you to Coruscant.
Mara thought back.
I don't know. I remember the first time I met the Emperor and the ride here in his private ship, but I don't have any memories of where I started from.
Do you remember how old you were?
Mara shook her head. Not really. I was old enough to talk to him, and to understand that I would be leaving home and going with him. But I can't pin it down any closer than that.
How about your parents? Do you remember them?
Only a little, Mara said. Not much more than shadows.
She hesitated.
I have a feeling, though, that they didn't want me to go.
I doubt the Emperor gave them any choice in the matter, Organa Solo said, her voice suddenly gentle.
What about you, Mara? Did you have any choice?
Mara smiled tightly through a sudden, inexplicable welling up of tears.
So that's where you're going with this. You think I risked my life for your twins because I got taken from my home the same way?
Were you?
No,
Mara said flatly, turning back to face her.
It wasn't like that. I just didn't want Kabalth getting his crazy grip on them. Just leave it at that.
All right, Organa Solo said, in a voice that said she only half believed it.
But if you ever want to talk more about it, I know where to find you,
Mara finished for her.
She still didn't believe she was telling Organa Solo all this, but down deep she had to admit that it felt strangely good to talk about it.
Maybe she was getting soft.
And you can call on me any time,
Organa Solo smiled as she stood up.
I'd better get downstairs to the briefing, see what Thrawn's fighting clones are up to today.
Mara frowned.
What fighting clones?
It was Organa Solo's turn to frown.
You don't know? Know what? The Empire's found some Sperti cloning cylinders somewhere. They've been turning out huge numbers of clones to fight against us.
Mara stared at her, an icy chill running through her.
Clones? No one told me,
she whispered.
I'm sorry, Organa Solo said. I thought everyone knew. It was the main topic of conversation in the palace for nearly a month. I was in the medical wing,
Mara said mechanically.
Clones. With the Katana fleet ships to fight from, and with the cold-blooded genius of Grand Admiral Thrawn to command them. It would be the Clone Wars all over again. That's right, I'd forgotten,
Organa Solo acknowledged. There was so much else going on.
She was looking oddly at Mara.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, Mara said, her voice sounding distant in her ears as the memories flashed across her mind like heat lightning. A forest, a mountain, a hidden and very private warehouse of the Emperor's personal treasures, and a vast chamber full of cloning tanks.
All right, Organa Solo said, clearly not convinced, but equally unwilling to press the point.
Well, I'll see you later. She reached again for the door handle.
Wait!
Organa Solo turned back.
Yes?
Mara took a deep breath. The very existence of the place had been a sacred trust, known to only a handful of people. The Emperor had made that clear time and time again. But for Thrawn to have a renewable army of clones to throw against the galaxy...
I think I know where Thrawn's spare tea cylinders are.
Even with her rudimentary sensing abilities, she could feel the wave of shock that rippled outward from Organa Solo.
Where?
She asked, her voice tightly controlled.
The Emperor had a private storehouse, Mara said,
the words coming out with difficulty. His weazened face seemed to hover before her, those yellow eyes gazing at her in silent and bitter accusation.
It was beneath a mountain on a world he called Wayland. I don't know if it even had an official name. It was where he kept all of his private mementos and souvenirs and odd bits of technology he thought might be useful someday. One of the artificial caverns held a complete cloning facility he'd apparently appropriated from one of the clone masters.
How complete was it?
Very, Mara said with a shiver. It had a full nutrient delivery system in place, plus a flash teaching setup for personality imprinting and tech training on the clones while they developed.
How many cylinders were there?
Mara shook her head. I don't know for sure. It was arranged in concentric tiers, sort of like a sport arena, and it filled the whole cavern.
Were there 1,000 cylinders? Organa Solo persisted. 2,000? 10?
I'd say at least 20,000, Mara told her. Maybe more.
20,000, Organa Solo said, her face carved from ice. And he can turn out a clone from each one every 20 days. Mara stared at her.
20 days? She echoed. That's impossible.
I know. Thrawn's doing it anyway. Do you know Weyland's coordinates?
Mara shook her head.
I was only there once, and the Emperor flew the ship himself. But I know I could find it if I had access to charts and a nav computer.
Organa Solo nodded slowly, her sense giving Mara the impression of wind racing through a ravine.
I'll see what I can do. In the meantime...
Her eyes focused abruptly on Mara's face.
You aren't to tell anyone what you've just told me. Anyone. Thrawn is still getting information out of the palace, and this is well worth killing for.
Mara nodded.
I understand, she said.
Suddenly, the room was feeling chillier.
All right. I'll try to get some extra security up here, if I can do it without drawing unwelcome attention.
She paused, cocking her head slightly to the side as if listening.
I'd better go. Han and Luke are coming, and this isn't the right place for a council of war.
Sure, Mara said, turning away from her to face the window. The lot was cast, and she had now irrevocably put herself on the side of the New Republic. On the side of Luke Skywalker, the man she had to kill. They held the Council of War that night in Leia's office, the one place they knew for certain that the mysterious Delta Source had so far had no access to. Luke glanced around the room as he came in, thinking back again to the tangled series of events that had brought these people, these friends, into his life. Han and Leia, sitting together on the couch, sharing a brief moment of quietness together before the realities of a galaxy at war intruded once more. Chewbacca, sitting between them and the door, his bowcaster resting ready on his shaggy knees, determined not to fail again in the self-imposed duties of his life debt. Lando, scowling at Leia's computer terminal, and a list of what looked like some kind of current market prices displayed there. 3PO and R2 conversing off in a corner, probably catching each other up on recent news and whatever passed for gossip among droids. And Winter, sitting unobtrusively in another corner, tending to the sleeping twins. His friends. His family.
Well? Han asked.
I did a complete circle around the office area, Luke told him. No beings or droids anywhere nearby. How about here?
I had Lieutenant Page come in personally and do a counterintelligence sweep, Leia said. And no one's come in since then. Everything should be secure.
Great, Han said. Now, can we find out what this is all about?
Yes, Leia said. And Luke sensed his sister brace herself. Mara thinks she knows where the Empire's cloning facility is.
Han sat up a little straighter, threw a quick look at Lando.
Where? On a planet the Emperor called Weyland, Leia said. A code name, apparently. It's not on any list I can find.
What was it, one of the old Clone Master facilities? Luke asked.
Mara said it was the Emperor's storehouse, Leia said. I got the impression that it was a sort of combination trophy room and equipment dump.
A private rat's nest, Han said. Sounds like him. Where is it?
She doesn't have the coordinates, Leia said. She was only there once. But she thinks she can find it again.
Why hasn't she said something about it before now? Lando asked.
Leia shrugged. Apparently, she didn't know about the clones until I said something. She was undergoing neural regeneration, remember, when everyone here was discussing it.
It's still hard to believe she could just miss the whole thing, Lando objected.
Hard, but not impossible, Leia said. None of the general distribution reports she had access to have ever mentioned the clones, and she hasn't exactly been what you'd call sociable around the palace.
The timing here is still pretty convenient, Lando pointed out. One might even say suspiciously convenient. Here she was, with practically free run of the palace. Then she gets fingered by an Imperial commando leader and locked up, and suddenly she's dangling Wayland in front of us and wanting us to break her out.
Who said anything about breaking her out? Leia asked, looking slightly aghast at the whole idea.
Isn't that what she's offering? Lando asked. To take us to Wayland if we get her out.
She's not asking anything, Leia protested. And all I'm offering is to smuggle a nav computer into her to get Wayland's location.
Afraid that won't do it, sweetheart. Han shook his head. The coordinates would be a start, but a planet's a pretty big place to hide a storehouse in.
Especially one the Emperor didn't want found, Luke agreed. Lando's right. We'll have to take her with us.
Han and Lando turned to stare at him, and even Leia looked taken aback. You don't mean you're buying this whole thing, Lando said.
I don't think we have any choice, Luke said. The longer we delay, the more clones the Empire's going to have to throw at us.
What about the backtrack you started, Leia suggested. The one through Podaris and Oris Sector.
That'll take time, Luke said. This'll get us there a lot faster.
If she's telling the truth, Lando countered darkly. If she isn't, you're off on a dead-end chase.
Or worse, Anne added. Thrawn's already tried once to get you and that Cabal character together. This could be another trap.
Luke looked at each of them in turn, wishing he knew how to explain it. Somewhere deep within him, he knew that this was the right thing to do, that this was where his path was leading him, as it had been with that final confrontation with Vader and the Emperor. Somehow, his destiny and Mara's were joined together at this place in time.
It's not a trap, he said at last, at least not on Mara's part.
I agree, Leia said quietly, and I think you're right. We have to take her with us.
Han shifted in his seat to stare at his wife, shot a frown at Luke, looked back at Leia.
Let me guess, he growled. This is one of those crazy Jedi things, right?
Partly, Leia conceded. But it's mostly just simple tactical logic. I don't think Thrawn would have tried so hard to convince us that Mara was a party to that kidnapping attempt unless he wanted us to disbelieve anything she might have told us about Wayland.
If you assume that, you also have to assume Thrawn figured the attempt would fail, Lando pointed out.
I assume Thrawn prepares for all contingencies, Leia said.
A muscle tightened in her cheek.
And, as you said, Han, there's also some Jedi insight involved here. I touched Mara's mind twice during that attack. Once when she woke me up, then again when she came in behind the commandos.
She looked at Luke, and in her sense he could see that she knew about Mara's vow to kill him.
Mara doesn't like us very much, she said aloud. But on some level I don't think that matters. She understands what a new round of Clone Wars would do to the galaxy, and she doesn't want that.
If she's willing to take me to Wayland, I'm going, Luke added firmly. I'm not asking any of you to go along. All I want is your help getting Mon Mothma to release her. He hesitated. And your blessing.
For a long moment, the room was silent.
Han stared at the floor, his forehead creased with concentration, gripping Leia's hand tightly in both of his. Lando stroked at his mustache, saying nothing. Chewbacca fingered his bowcaster, rumbling softly under his breath. In the opposite corner, R2 was chirping away thoughtfully to himself. One of the twins, Jason, Luke decided, moaned a little in his sleep, and Winter reached over to rub his back soothingly.
We can't talk to Mon Mothma about it, Han said at last.
She'll go through channels, and by the time anyone's ready to do anything, half the palace will know about it. If Thrawn wants to shut Mara up for good, he'll have all the time he needs to do it.
What's the alternative? Leia asked, her eyes suddenly cautious.
What Lando already said, Han told her bluntly. We break her out. Leia threw a startled look at Luke.
Han, we can't do that.
Sure we can, Han assured her. Chewie and me had to pop a guy out of an Imperial hotbox once, and it worked just fine.
Chewbacca growled. It did, too, Han protested, looking over at him. It wasn't our fault they picked him up again a week later.
That's not what I meant, Leia said, her voice pained. You're talking about a highly illegal action, bordering on treason.
Han patted her knee. The whole rebellion was a highly illegal action, bordering on treason, sweetheart, he reminded her. When the rules don't work, you break them.
Leia took a deep breath, let it out slowly.
You're right, she admitted at last. You're right. When do we do it?
We, that is, you, don't do it, Han told her. It's going to be Luke and me. You and Chewie are staying here where it's safe.
Chewbacca started to rumble something, broke off in mid-sentence. Leia looked at the Wookiee, at Luke.
You don't need to come, Han, Luke said, reading in his sister the fears he knew she couldn't voice. Mara and I can do it alone.
What? Two of you are going to take out a whole cloning complex by yourselves? Han snorted.
We don't have much choice, Luke said. As long as Delta Source is active, there aren't too many other people we know we can trust. And the ones we can, like Rogue Squadron, are on active defense duty.
He waved a hand to encompass the room.
We're pretty much it.
So we're it, Han said. We'll still have a lot better chance with three than with two.
Luke looked at Leia. Her eyes were haunted with fear for her husband's safety, but in her sense, he could find only a reluctant acceptance of Han's decision. She understood the critical importance of this mission, and she was far too experienced a warrior not to recognize that Han's offer made sense. Or, perhaps, like Han, she didn't want Luke going off alone with the woman who wanted to kill him.
All right, Han, he said. Sure, we'll make it a party of three.
Might as well make it a party of four, Lando sighed. The way things are going with my Nomad City petition, it doesn't look like I'm going to have much else to do. It'd be nice to pay them back a little for that.
Sounds good to me, pal, Han nodded. Welcome aboard.
He turned to Chewbacca. Okay, Chewie, now what's your problem?
Luke looked at Chewbacca in surprise. He hadn't noticed any problem there, but now that he was paying attention, he could indeed sense the turmoil in the Wookiee's emotions.
What is it, Chewie?
For a moment, the other just rumbled under his breath. Then, with obvious reluctance, he told them.
Well, we'd like to have you along, too, Han told him. But someone's got to stay here and take care of Leia. Unless you think palace security's up to the job.
Chewbacca growled a succinct opinion of palace security.
Right, Han agreed. That's why you're staying.
Luke looked at Leia. She was looking at him, too, and he could tell that she also recognized the dilemma. Chewbacca's original life debt was to Han, and it pained him terribly to let Han go into this kind of danger without him.
This book is continued on cassette number 6, side 1.